I want you to turn in your Bible with me, if you will, please. I'm reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 13. And I want you to keep your Bible open in that area, if you will. And I'm going to read from verse number 17. And it came to pass. Now, I could stop there and have church. It came to pass. What came to pass? What God said was going to happen. And whatever you find in this book that God said, you can put it in the bank. It will come to pass. But let me go on. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. Joseph knew God was going to bring them out of that mess. And they took their journey, verse 20 says, from Succoth, and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Bow your hearts and let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for the reading of this holy scripture. And I pray that the anointing of the Holy Ghost will mantle every person, everyone that you have led to tune in to this telecast, everybody that's under this great tent, let them know that there is a way out of their problem. There's a way out of sin. There's a way out of sickness. There's a way out of disease, and there's a way out of infirmity. There's a way out of drug addiction. Whatever the problem is, allow faith to come alive and perform a miracle in their life. Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and I command you to release your hold on their life. I call liberty in this service tonight in Jesus Christ's name. And everybody shouted amen. And amen. Now I'm going to use this one verse of scripture, verse 17. And I will not finish this message tonight, but I will bring it to a conclusion and continue it, because there is so much involved in this message. I'm going to title this message, When You Wonder Why. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a situation where you said, why do I have to go through this? You don't have to be a Christian to wonder why. You that are not saved, every one of you that are under this tent tonight, without exception, I believe you have been here in this particular situation where you said, why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to suffer this? Hear me, Christian. You say, I'm living all I know how. I go to church, I pay my tithes, I treat my fellow man right. Why do I have to suffer the indignities that I'm going through? That next door neighbor, gambler, alcoholic, drug dealer, seems like they don't have any trouble at all. Well, you're the one that God is leading into a place of victory. Can you shout amen? Now, we're going to end on a victorious note, but I'm going to start on a victorious note. And don't you ever forget this. What you are going through, the battle is not your battle, but the battle is the Lord's battle. Can you shout praise the Lord with me? Now in this 17th verse, it says, it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. Now let me talk to you Christians for a moment, you that know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I had a lady come to me in a service some years ago, and she said, I can't understand this thing. She said, I've been in the church for 30 years and the devil never bothered me. And she said, I come here last week and got saved and all hell broke loose. Oh, she gave me my message. You know, you can be in church and the devil never bother you, but once you get saved, this was her word, you can be in church and not be saved. You can have religion and not know God. But when you come to know Him, whom to know right is life eternal, then all hell zeroes in on you to try to bring you back into the mess where God delivered you from. But I'm here to tell you, you're not going back. You are going to make it. God never intended for you or me to be the victim. We are the victor. God never intended for us to be overcome by the devil, but He intended for us to be the overcomer. Remember, Romans 8:28 is still in the book. That all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Can you shout amen with me, somebody? But you see, God sent them a visible sign in that Old Testament. His Old Testament church, the ecclesia, which is the Greek word, the called out ones. God brought them out of that world. He brought them out of Egypt. God doesn't save you just to bring you out of the world, but He brings you out to bring you into your fullness. God has a place of victory for you, and you must be led by the Spirit in order to get into that place where God wants you. And it takes a series of actions of discipline on our part to make sure we are responsive to His voice. The ability to be led by that Spirit. In that last verse of that 13th chapter of Exodus, He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. God gave them a visible sign. He said, when that cloud moves, you move. When that cloud stands still, you stand still. When that fire moves, you move. When the fire stands still, then you stand still. That was a visible sign. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, said, we were baptized in that same cloud that your fathers were baptized in. We were baptized in that same sea. I want you to know, when you were washed in the blood of the Lamb, the Holy Ghost brought you out of that world, and you have been cleansed. God put in a new heart, put a robe of righteousness on you, wrote your name in the Lamb's book of life, and gave you the Holy Spirit, and He is directing you, and He is leading you into your place of victory. Can you shout praise the Lord? Oh yes. This church, God never takes you the easy way. You know, I asked people this. I said, why does God always have to do things the hard way? I see some of you shaking your head. When you wonder why does He do it? You don't wonder why. All He wants you to do is follow. All He wants is obedience. When He pulls on your rein, He won't even have to talk. Just move. There's another word that I like here. Let me read this 18th verse. God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. I mean discipline. Went up discipline. God used the children of Israel, the ones that He called out of Egypt. Hear me, Christian. You did not choose Him. He chose you. He called you. Did He do it? He said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I have ordained you. I have called you. And now He wants us to follow Him into that place of victory. And many times you will be brought to a place where you wonder why. And in this very deliverance of God's people, in the first verse of that 14th chapter, it says, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn. Turn them. God knew that if He left them go the easy way, they would have gotten discouraged because of the land of the Philistines, which was the enemy out there, and they were not ready for conflict. They're going to get discouraged. But God is bringing them to a place where He can try them and test them. A better word is discipline them. Nobody likes discipline. Hear me, young folks. Nobody likes discipline. When I was 17 years of age, I joined the United States Navy. During World War II, everybody else was being drafted, and I said, if I could just get in there, I'll end the thing. That's how I felt. They need me. My Lord, that thing's been dragging on. Let me join up. And I found out I'd get my high school diploma. I was halfway through. My grades were up, so I enlisted. When I went down there and talked to that Navy recruiter, he was calling me, yes, sir. Sign right here on the dotted line. Yes, sir. Very nice to me. Took me out and gave me dinner. But just as soon as I put my name on that dotted line, that man metamorphosed into a different creature. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Right away he said to me, Tangent, Take that smile off your face. I said, hey, buddy, don't buddy me. Stand up straight. I said, Lord, what did I get into? Some of you men smiling, you know what I'm talking about. You already been there. They're going to start disciplining this boy right away. That's what discipline is. I never had discipline at home. Are you listening to me? Pop was too busy working. Right away that man said, now you belong to the Navy. You don't belong to your mama no more. She ain't going to make your dinner. She's not going to wash your clothes. You got to do it. I said, oh, Lord, get me out of here. Too late. Put my name on the dotted line. He told me $50 a month we bought you. Boy, they know how to crush a man's ego. I thought I was worth more than that. $50 a month. He says, we tell you when you go to bed. We tell you when to get up. We tell you when to wash. We tell you when to do your clothes. We tell you everything. And we expect our orders to be obeyed. Did you hear me? I said, yeah. What did you say? Yes, sir. Here, I thought they're going to put me on a ship, you know, and get me out there so I can clean up that Japanese force. And you know where they put me? In boot camp. That's the training I'm talking about. When you wonder why, God is preparing you for the major combat. There's an enemy out there that's out to steal, he's out to kill, and he's out to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Can you shout amen with me, somebody? This message, when you wonder why, this first point, the discipline of the winding place. Going around, God says, turn them. And you know, when we go out harnessed and disciplined, God won't even have to speak. He'll just give a little flick of his eye and you'll understand. I was watching a conductor in an orchestra standing there like a board, and you ought to heard the music that was coming out of those folks. And I said, how in the world can they follow him when he ain't doing anything? You're used to watching an instructor taking his hands, but he just stood there. And I asked one of them, he said, you're not on the other side of that thing. He is directing us with his eye. Every movement of the eye, they could see, and they brought forth perfect music to the soul. Discipline. And this is what God is trying to do to his church. Get us into a place of discipline where you'll not even be able to hear his voice, but you can feel the nudge of the Holy Ghost, and you won't have to run off to the pastor or some evangelist and say, is it God talking to me? You will know it is God because you have been disciplined, and you'll never question him. God is leading you into a place of victory. Can you shout yes with me, somebody? Now, when you know this, now Moses, pastor, how would you like to have 3.5 million people in your church? I mean, that is church growth. And Moses never conducted a seminar on church growth. He had 3.5 million people that he was the shepherd over. God called him to bring those people out of bondage and move them into the land of promise. And may I say this, the promised land is not heaven. I said the promised land is not heaven. There was sin in that promised land. There ain't gonna be no sin in heaven. That promised land is a place where God wants you and me to arrive at a place of victory, a land that flows with milk and honey, but it's only a disciplined, harnessed people that know the voice of God that will move in to their fullness. Can you raise your hands and shout praise the Lord with me? I like to use this expression. Those 3.5 million people, it must have been difficult to position them and put them where he wanted them. So God said to Moses, turn them around and take them down by the sea. The desert. A desert place. A wilderness. My Lord, preachers are preaching about mountaintops. And God's going to lead you through a wilderness. Why? Don't you look at me like that. God is using his people as bait. That'll knock the ego out of you. What do you use bait for? To put it on a hook and throw you in the water so you can catch the big one. Who is the big one? The devil is. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And God is going to put you in a place where there's no way out. Oh, don't turn that TV set off now. Because I know some of you are saying, my God, he's talking to me. I'm in a place where there ain't no way out. The finances are gone. I have a divorce paper in my hand. The doctor says I'm going to die and not live. Oh, it's not time to get down in the mouth. If you're a child of God, it's time to rejoice because God's on the verge of bringing you out of that mess and you are going to be the conqueror. Can you shout yes? Woo! Oh, I feel this thing coming now. God said, turn them and drive them down. And he puts them into an area where the sea is, and it's time for the sea to overflow its banks. Flood time. No way out. Mountains to the left. Mountains to the right. And if you do get the urge to go back, Pharaoh's on your case. The devil's right on your trail. Do you know why the devil's on your trail? God planned it that way. Oh, hallelujah. He puts us in position. Now, let me read this with me. God said, speak to the children of Israel that they turn. Verse 3, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land and the wilderness hath shut them in. God said, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. God said, I'm in charge. I am going to make Pharaoh go after him because I'm going to be had in honor to Pharaoh. You are the chosen of God. God has called you, he has ordained you, and he's the one that has given you the Spirit so that you can be directed of him. God never makes a mistake. And he's looking for people who will be obedient to him. The way out is assured. You say, what about sinners? No, your way out's not assured. I'm talking to Christians now. But every one of you that are not saved, I can assure you the way out if you'll come to Jesus Christ first. I'll get into that a little bit later on, but I'm trying to encourage every one of you that are saved tonight. You're wondering why you have to go through this particular situation, and I want you to know God has his hands on the rein. It's God who sets up one king and sets down another. God is still on the throne, and he will make a way where there is no way. Can you raise your hands and shout praise the Lord with me? Hallelujah! It's like the devil gets in the microphones too, doesn't it? Somebody say that devil's a liar. Look at somebody and say that devil is a liar. Now let me back up here a little bit. I said the way out is assured. I'm talking to you Christians now. You that are saved, you that are washed in the blood of the Lamb, your way out is assured. You are the victor. Somebody says, but I'm knocked down. Yeah, but you're not out yet. You're going to make it. I said you're going to make it. God said, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart that he'll follow after them, and then I will be honored among Pharaoh. That devil can't do but what God allows him to do. Is that right? All right, let's go back to Job. There you go. God was having a meeting with his sons, and the devil sneaked in on that meeting, and God said, whence comest thou, Satan, running to and fro the earth? He said, have you considered my servant Job, that there ain't nobody like him on the face of the earth? He said, yeah, I tried to get him, but you got a hedge around him. Won't that make you shout? And that's Old Testament. He had a hedge around him. He says, take the hedge from him. Put your hand to him and afflict him, and he'll curse you to your face. Take everything from him, and he'll curse you. He says, you're a liar, devil. That's why I like to say the devil's a liar. God called him a liar. You're a liar, devil. Job not only has faith in me, he said, I got faith in Job. Isn't that wonderful to know God has faith in you? That no matter what you're called to go through, you are trusting God. You're hanging on to the horns of the altar because you know you are coming out of that mess because you are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! I'm going to get dignified and take my coat off. I'm beginning to feel this thing now. Now listen to me, saints. When God allows you to get in that situation, the point of no return, there's no way out. You can hear the hoofbeats of the enemy on your trail. I mean, he's coming. Ain't no way out. That's when you begin to say, why? It ain't over yet. Remember, you're the bait. There is a human response to everything that God leads us into. You hear me now. Be careful how you respond to what you're going through. I want you to look at verse 10, if you will, please. When Pharaoh drew nigh, when he gets close, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Fear gripped their heart when the enemy got close. When you become disciplined, and when that devil gets close enough, you're going to know that victory is nearby. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody says, I'm down to my last $10. You blew it. You should have put it in the offering and got down to nothing. Now God's got to work. Are you listening to me? Somebody says, my back is against the wall. Goody, can't back up no further. I'm hanging by the end of the rope. Wonderful. Tie a knot in it and hang on. Help is on the way. You are a child of God. And you are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ, your Lord. Verse 11. They said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Now they begin to have self-pity. You get into a situation and you blame it on God. Why did you get me in this mess? If I wasn't saved, I wouldn't be here. Sure wouldn't, you'd have been dead. You better thank God you are saved. Hear me, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Remember I said the righteous. God promised deliverance for every one of his people, and there is a way out. You that are under this tent tonight, that are looking for that miracle, I want you to know Jesus is going to heal you tonight. He said, I will not permit these diseases to come upon you that I have permitted to come upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. God has a promise for every one of his children. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. They become passive now. Here they are looking for death. How many times have you been in trouble and you said, oh, it looks like this is it. This is the end. No, it's only the beginning. God's not finished yet. He's looking for a people. That's why you're being disciplined, because God is looking for a people that will learn how to obey him and hang on to the horns of the altar until that answer gets there. God's promised you victory and deliverance, and this is the way out. This is the part that I want to deal with, and it seems like I don't have much time. After the human response, I want you to turn to verse 13 now. Stay with me in that chapter. Moses said unto the people, when you're fearful, God commands the man of God, that preacher that stands behind the pulpit, every pastor, every evangelist, every teacher, God said through Moses, fear ye not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. My God, that makes me want to holler. God demands his ministers to rehearse the truth in their ears. Now there's a whole lot coming from the pulpit today that's not truth. Thy word is truth. And that's the reason why we have put this on television, to rehearse this good news in your ears. Gospel means good news. Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. You got a God that will fight your battles for you. Can you shout amen, somebody? Hallelujah. This takes a lot of discipline, because I like to do my own fighting. I like to feel that physical contact. I like to feel that fist hitting somebody on the jaw. If I could just get a hold of the devil and let him have an uppercut. You better be glad you can't give him an uppercut. Can you shout amen? Amen. This battle that we are engaged in is God's battle. Hallelujah. There is no place in God's army for anybody that has fear of that enemy. Never allow the devil to intimidate you. I want you to know God said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He said, behold, I give you power over all the power of the devil, and in my name you shall cast out devils. Did he say that? But he desires cooperation. The Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Now another translation says, will you shut up and move it out? I kind of like that, don't you? That's a command, isn't it? Don't you like that translation? Thank God for prayer, but there comes a time when we stop praying. And it's about time we start doing what God tells us to do. God said, Moses, get up off your face, man. Don't you know the enemy's on your heels? Now get up and move it out. I can picture Moses standing there saying, Lord, forward, the sea. Oh, I like this. How come God gotta do it the hard way? Go forward. Faith never backs up. Faith never is sidetracked. Faith always go forward. But I can't go forward. I know it. Move. He says, Lord, how are we getting over? The rod, Moses, the rod. Well, I know the rod will float, but how am I going to get 3.5 million on the rod? Here we are trying to reason the thing out. How's God gonna do this thing? There's no way out. He is a miracle worker. God wants you to do everything that you can do, and then he'll take over and do what you cannot do. That is God. Are you listening to me? I like to say this on television. Moses was not a Baptist. See, how do you know that? If he was a Baptist, he'd have got a finance committee together and they'd have built a boat and got them 3.5 million people across there. And Baptists can raise money. I mean, they can raise money. But Moses was one of them little old Holy Ghost preachers. He's one led by the Spirit, and God said, just stretch the rod out over the water, man. Woo! What's going to happen? Just stretch it out. That's all you got to do. Stretch it out. I can picture Moses taking that rod, stretching that thing out over the water, when all of a sudden the waters began to back up on both sides. Are you listening to me? Ah, this God I'm talking about is a miracle working God. I said he'll do what no other power can do. All he's looking for is a little trust on your part. He's looking for you to obey his voice. When God said go ahead, then go ahead. But it's flood time. It's supposed to be flood time. This is where God gets glory out of this thing. He will make a way where there is no way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ah, but God demands cooperation. I said he demands cooperation. You do what you can do, and he'll do what you can't do. Jesus stood in front of the graveside of Lazarus. He said, roll the stone away. Now, if he's able to get Lazarus out of that grave, he can roll that stone away. Yeah. But he's the only one that can get him out of the grave. So he'll let the others roll the stone away. He wants you to do what you can do. He wants participation. He wants cooperation. When he walked into the synagogue and said to the man, you, sir, stand up. Yes, sir. Withered hand. Stretch it forth. Now, if he come in here today and told you to get up and be healed, you'd say, Lord, I've been like this 30 years. He didn't come to enter into a dialogue with you. He just wants obedience. When I lay hands on you in those wheelchairs, I'm going to command you to get up and walk. Don't tell me you can't walk. I know it. That's what you're in the wheelchair for. But just step out on his word. If he said go, then go. If he says move, then move. But God always demands cooperation and participation. And this is what he wants. You that are not saved, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but you can't make it unless you come to Jesus. And that's what this is all about. Every one of you under this tent that's not saved. You say, but I joined a church. You can have your name on every church book in your city and go to hell. You can shake every preacher's hand you come in contact with and still go to hell. You must be born again. You initiate that miracle in your life by coming to him. He said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast him out. All you got to do is come to him, and he'll take you just as you are. He'll take an old stony heart out of you and put in a heart of flesh. Are you listening to me? He'll clothe you with the righteousness of God and record your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He'll make a saint out of you in a split moment of time. I'm going to ask my audience under this tent to stand, if you will. Don't you be ashamed of him now.
Nevermore to roam.
Thank you, Jesus. Come on, young man. Come on, young woman. God's calling you tonight. Remember what I said earlier? He wants participation, cooperation. He says, you come, I take you in. You confess, I forgive. That's how God works. You did your part. You cooperated. You believe he's going to do his part? He's already done it. I got a secret belief. I believe the first step you took to come down here, God put a hook in your jaw. You know what God said? He just served notice on the devil and said, you can't have him anymore. He belongs to me now. You're God's child. Raise your right hand, will you? Audience, you raise your right hand. We're going to pray. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in the hearts of these precious people. You said, what I loose here, you loose there. And I set them free by the power of the living Christ. Satan, loose them and let them go. Now, Lord, you said, what I loose here, you've done it now. I believe this. Now, I turn around and bind that devil so he can never torment these people again. While you have that hand raised, I want everybody under this tent to repeat this prayer after me. Let it come from your heart. Say, Father.
Father.
Say it out loud. In Jesus' name,
I come to you as a sinner.
I repent from all my sin.
Lord,
that means I turn my back on it.
I made up my mind.
I'm going to serve the Lord. But Lord, I'm weak. But out of weakness, I'm going to be made strong. Because I'm asking you to wash all my sins away.
I believe
Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe he died on Calvary.
I believe he was buried.
After 3 days,
I believe he arose from the dead.
He ascended into heaven.
Where he represents me. Thank you, Lord. I believe that.
Thank you, Lord. I believe that.
You said in your word, if I believe that,
you said in your word, if I believe that,
with my heart, and confess it with my mouth,
and confess it with my mouth,
that I'm saved.
I'm saved.
You can't lie.
You can't lie.
So that means I'm saved.
So that means I'm saved.
You hear that, devil?
I'm through with you.
Through with your world.
Through with your word.
Through with your flesh.
Through with your flesh.
I belong to Jesus.
I belong to Jesus.
From tonight on.
From tonight on.
Fill me with the Holy Ghost.
And give me power.
And let me represent you here. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now put up both hands and thank him, will you?
Well, here I am again in a more relaxed attitude and atmosphere. It's been a joy having you under this great big gospel tent and allowing me the privilege of preaching the gospel to you right there in your home. The message that I preach today, when you wonder why, well, you won't wonder anymore. When you're going through the fire and through the trials and the tests, you're going to know that you're the bait. God's using you to bring that devil into a place of defeat, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. It's been such a joy to be able to share just a part of this great service with you in your home. Now, you won't want to miss our next special. It's going to be a great children's blessing service. And I want you to make sure you have your children around that television set. I'm going to be praying a ninefold blessing that God will keep your children from sin, sickness, disease, infirmity, drug addiction, alcohol, accident, perversion, and no plague shall come nigh your dwelling. I lay hands on at least 4,000 or 5,000 people under this tent, and I'm going to be laying hands on your children right there in your home. You won't want to miss it. So I want you to write me a letter. Now, since this has been our first telecast, I want to hear from you. Do you enjoy a service like this coming from the tent? Let me know about it. Do you enjoy the preaching? If you don't like it, write me. I'd be delighted to hear from you also. All you got to do is write to me at R.W. Shambach, Tyler, Texas. That's all the address you need. R.W. Shambach, Tyler, Texas. So get your letter in the mail today. I want you to know that it's such a joy to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you, coming to you directly from one of the world's greatest gospel tents. This is our first telecast, so I want to hear from every one of you to let me know just how it's received. This particular telecast is sponsored by my power partners worldwide. Now, if you want to know what Power Partners is, you ask for that information, and I'll tell you how you can be blessed and how you can help me bring Jesus back to our generation. Until the next telecast, remember this one thing. You don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God.
Here's a special...
unlimited thrill, limited time. The L-Certified by Lexus Spring Collection sales event has arrived, featuring an unlimited mileage L-Certified warranty and complimentary maintenance plan. L-Certified was named the best CPO program by U.S. News and World Report.
For a limited time, get special offers on select pre-owned models.
See your Houston-area Lexus dealer.
Not all customers will qualify. Offer ends May 31st. Time restrictions pursuant to L-Certified warranty and maintenance plan apply. See your Lexus dealer for details.
Let's go! The new Macy's Backstage at Pearland Town Center just opened.
And it's right inside Macy's on the first floor.
Incredible low prices.
We don't even need coupons.
And you never know what you'll find.
Well, that's what the thrill of the hunt is all about.
Great brands, fashion for everyone.
Home decor, electronics, toys.
And new finds arrive every week.
So if you see it, buy it before it's gone.
Who knew shopping could be this exciting?
Macy's Backstage now open on the first floor inside Pearland Town Center. Visit MacysBackstage.com for details.